Spirit, saturate my soul and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe the life and make me whole, and let the peace of God of God. Let it rain and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God, let it rain.
Let it rain, Father.
It rain.
Thank you, Jesus, for your peace.
Yes.
Thank you for your peace.
Let
Hallelujah.
God
let it rain in our lives, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Going to have you turn there, but write it down. Be aware of it. I'm sure most of you know the story. For those of you that have not been with us, just a quick catch up. We've been dealing with, we started out with faith a number of months ago, and the importance of our words. How many are aware more than ever before now? Not a law, okay? This isn't a law thing. This isn't, God's going to get you if you don't get your words right. This is the kingly authority of believers to decree a thing. Come on. Reigning in life. This is Romans 5:17. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many know it's important what we say? Proverbs 18:21. How many remember what Proverbs 18:21 says? Somebody give me that look. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life, read your Bible, are in the power of the tongue. And we eat the fruit of what we say. Now, everybody wants to go negative there. It's just human nature. We want to go negative. I love to go positive. I think of fruit. I think of bright yellow bananas and really big purple grapes. And I love kiwi cut in half with all that design. I'm thinking fruit, man. The fruit, the good things of God come as a result of me believing Him in my heart what He said is true and letting those words tumble off these lips. Isn't that beautiful? Then we have Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man. We got any blessed people in here this morning?
Yes.
Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but rather his delight is in the, what? The law of the Lord. Under the new covenant, we could put it this way, the word of God. This man meditates in that word day and night. And the result of that is he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That's the first promise. Here's the second one. He'll bring forth fruit in its season. Here's the third one. His leaf will not wither. And the last one, come on, some of you businessmen and guys and ladies that are working so hard and doing what you're doing is under the Lord and not complaining about your boss. Got quiet in here. Will prosper. Whatever he puts his hand to will prosper. How many reach out and take a hold of those truths this morning? Thankful that God takes care of his own. All right? You have Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Who said that we could have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, literally reads in the Greek, have the faith of God, or faith like God has. All right? Then it goes to verse 23, and he says, I tell you that if you say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Don't look at me like that. Jesus is talking. What are you looking at me like? Oh, what? Jesus is talking to us. He's saying you can change the horizon of your life with words. Not me, Jesus. If you speak to this mountain and you believe in your heart the things that you're saying, are you here today? That we can have whatever. Read it. He said it. We can have whatever we say. And then he tells us to stand and receive what we have believed. That's pretty powerful. How many in here have experienced already as you begin to open your mouth and speak to your businesses, speak into your relationships? Can you give me a show of hands this morning? How many have noticed a difference when you begin to speak the Word of God? All right. Now, the next thing we begin to follow was faith works by love. And as we move through that, we hit a number of, I feel, very rich elements of what that message is. I did not want to hurry. We're going to come back to some of those things. We, in that same theme, begin to talk about at the turn of the year the importance of forgetting that which is behind and pressing forward towards that which God, the high calling, that high calling. How many in here recognize, if you don't know it this morning, you have a high calling in Christ Jesus? Tap your neighbor and say out loud, I have a high calling I'm reaching for. In Christ Jesus. Absolutely. All right. So, we talked about the importance of not letting the past dictate your future. Paul put it this way. This one thing I've learned, Philippians chapter 3, this one thing I've learned, forgetting that which is behind. Now, how many know that we're not talking about a mental, intellectual wiping out of your memory? What we are talking about is the sting and the pain. Guilt, grief, starts with an R. What's the matter with me? Regret, there it is. The regret of the past, all of that, that wants to come in like a flood and dictate to you who you are, dictate to you where you're going. How many know that Jesus has set me free from my past? We got to dare to believe. We live in an age and a time where every emotional and mental disorder is blamed on just about everything, but probably what really is the issue. Most people are struggling from an unanswered heart issue. And all we know how to do in this nation right now is buffer with drugs between the mind and the heart and turn people into, and I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate cases where medication is needed. So please, don't stop. I never said that. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm not telling you to change anything. What I'm telling you is believe right, and the results will set you free from being dependent on anything other than Jesus. How many are glad today that His truth sets us free? Wow, we should have been lifting the roof off this place. How many are glad that the truth of Jesus sets us free? Now, how many know that all of us are in different levels of growth? There are areas where the more I grow in Jesus, I see, although I am free, let me say it backwards. Although I'm freed by the work of Jesus, because of my lack of understanding, I'm not free here. I have a right, I have open access, but ignorance or lack of understanding has caused me not to walk free. Proclamation of Emancipation, Abraham Lincoln. For years there were slaves held in slavery after they had been freed, but they were not free because unscrupulous slave owners kept them from knowing that. Even though they were freed, they did not walk free. How many can look back at your own life as the more you learn the Word of God and you can say, wow, I was already freed, I just didn't know. How many know the truth? The truth you know will set you free. How many glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Good news. The gospel is good news. Now here's the deal. So we begin to learn about the importance of faith that works by love. All that covered there, I felt necessary to spend some time. We spent several weeks forgetting the past. And I want to go back to what I was saying before, lest I lose that train of thought. I'm not saying that you intellectually, physically forget everything, but the ability for that to control you, a memory instead of a painful, controlling thought, becomes a testimony of the freedom that we found in Jesus. And we overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. How many here got a testimony of good things? Vic Palmel blessed me this week. He said a number of weeks ago, he said, Pastor Lee, I just want you to know, it was just kind of typical Vic stuff. I just want you to know in passing, we're sitting in breakfast. He said, I just want you to know in passing that when you prayed for me back a number of weeks, this is not to give glory to Lee, it's to give glory to Jesus. He said, I was on an oxygen machine 24/7, portable oxygen. He said, since you prayed for me, my lungs have cleared up. I have no need for the oxygen. We have somebody else in here that had been dealt a very, very painful blow some years ago. And in the process of this, and then another meeting that they went to, and an example given of the power of the magnified word, she said she felt Jesus come almost like literally and remove that pain and that angst and that thing, just remove it. She said, it's a miracle. She said, I'm free of what was holding me in check. Let me tell you something. The Word of God works if you put it to work. And all it takes is a response of faith. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, Hebrews 13:8. I haven't forgotten about Mark chapter 4. Hebrews 13 says this. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to stop right now and remind you of something. Just because I can stand up here and preach it with conviction, and with passion, and with an anointing, not because I'm so anointed. The anointing is on His Word. His Word. I had a very strange dream last night. Couldn't get it off my mind. I debated on whether to share it or not because I don't want it to be understood wrong. Because I don't believe people in our congregation do this. I'm so glad for people that love us and lift us in prayer. I'm not really sure. I woke up praying about this and thinking what was going on. But I found myself in a strange place, very tangibly real. I was with people who I perceived to be foreigners. I feel like the Holy Spirit's going to show me and lay this out and make it clear, because it's all very vivid in my mind. I know the central theme of what was there. I believe that it's very prophetic in nature, and the church as a whole needs to wake and see some things. But in this dream, I was with a group of people that were foreigners, and yet they spoke my language without an accent. I have reasons why that was presented that way. I was in a foreign place, a foreign realm, a foreign land. It seemed to be a kind of a farm, rural area where I was at. There were old stone, kind of like Europe, buildings that were around us. No sense of danger, no sense of anything other than I was suddenly with these people. And they were all in conversation about their desire to know the will of God. Their desire to know who God was. And they seemed to be very aware that I was the one there to help them. And they were helping me get seated. There was a fire off here to the right. Some old, very rustic, beautiful buildings off around here. Fields around me. And this group of faces, I didn't know a single one of them. They spoke perfectly my language, yet I perceived in one way, like I was on the mission field as a boy, these were all foreigners. How many know that we are pilgrims and strangers? Having been found in Christ, this world is not our home. And yet what was happening is, Darlene, they were setting me up in a position, and they were saying, here, I could hear it as much from inside of them as two individuals who were kind of in charge. Set him up where he can hear from God for us. And at one point they say, we need to lift him up. And they got a hold of me. I mean, none of it was rude or anything, but they got a hold of me. And they decided that I needed to be set up higher, needed to get me up high where I was above the horizon, where I could, and I heard these words, where he can channel the voice of God for us. In that, something inside of me arose, and I felt myself swiftly move out of that place like I was carried in the air, and I was backed up and suspended over them, and I said, listen, this is the wrong way to seek him. He is found fully in the complete work of Jesus. There is no man that replaces his precious work in your life. Amen. I begin to declare the gospel like never before, passionately proclaiming Jesus and who he was, the precious Lamb of God, that in him is all the fullness of God, that he gave the Holy Spirit, that he will lead and guide you individually and directly. I'll tell you what, when I woke up, here's what was going on. The minute that I said that, I heard myself saying, here we go. And I took off like a blast, physically looking down at the ground as I shot heavenward. Now don't you dare for a minute think I'm telling you this to make me think I'm somebody special. Not at all. It's the opposite. Be careful who you elevate. Be careful who you set up to hear for you. Every time we come in here, I want you to know that it is the foolishness of preaching. Let me tell you something, buddy. I know I qualify for foolishness of preaching. I crack myself up all the time. But there is truth in the Word of God that if you'll embrace it, it truly sets men and women, young boys and girls, elderly who have struggled all their lives, he sets men free. Would you lift your hands this morning and shout unto God, who is the freedom giver, hallelujah, of life. You don't need somebody channeling for you, hearing for you. We have a great high priest. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Hebrews 13:8, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday speaks of my past. Today speaks of my, and forever speaks of Stop, would you, a minute? See him in your past. That changes everything. Boldly square your shoulders this morning. Stand in your present. Would you shout out with me? Because of whom? Come on, shout it with me. Because of whom? I have believed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith in His obedience. And I see Him in my future. Remember, we talked about Jeremiah and Isaiah, Hebrews 13. Jeremiah, my future. Isaiah, my present. And Hebrews 13, my past. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. We're glad for Jesus today. Yes. Take a minute and see Him there. For He is the same. Individually, personally, right now, this morning, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, He is the same yesterday for me. Today. And forever. That's a beautiful truth. How many have been receiving great grace, intentionally stopping the failures and even the successes of the past from dictating your future? You know, if you're in a boat, it's one thing to be anchored. It's another thing to say, the fishing was good here this time. It will forever be good here from now on. I'm going to legalistically chain myself to the bottom right here, and this is where I'm going to camp. There's one problem with that. When the tide rises, when the storm comes, you're going to drown because you're chained by a mechanism of your own making to an old way of thinking. Would you shout with me today, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The steadfast love of the Lord. Come on, shout it. The steadfast love of the Lord never fails. His mercies are new every morning. It's a brand new day. I can break the chain, rise with the tide, and trust Him that where He's taken me, I'm going to get there. For He is the Lord of my past, the Lord of my present, and the Lord of my future. Come on, somebody better be shouting. This is good news. Are you kidding me? He is good. Now, that's a bunch of emotionalism. You bet your stinking boots it is. I'm so full of emotion right now. Unashamed of it. They don't rule me, but boy, it feels good when they're here. A response to His goodness. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, kind of a subtle, yet not so subtle, promise. He said, let us go to the other side. And then they begin their journey. Jesus and His followers, each of them in a boat. Jesus said, that's where we're going. I am the Lord of the past, present, and future. If you'll trust me, it's a done deal. Let us go to the other side. How many have heard that in so many words? God spoke to you. You're in the middle of a battle. But He spoke to you and said, this is what I've called you to do. This is what I'll do if you'll trust me. And the journey began. You left the shore. How many in here have left the shore? This one thing I do, I forget what is past. And I'm pressing forward on into what He's called me to do. I've got a promise. Let us go to the other side. How many have left the shore? Listen, we're not going to get very far. We can't let go of the shore. Let it go. It doesn't matter anymore. Past divorces, past failures, past churches, past pastors, past whatever. Move forward. Stop waiting for some man of God. Stop trying to position him to channel. That'll get you in trouble. Hear the words of Jesus. And here's what he said. Let us go. There was a promise. Have you left the shore? I want to encourage you today. You can trust him and go. Now here's the deal. Once we make that decision, the enemy does not like you actually trusting God. So he is going to do his best to stop you. Here they are in the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. What a beautiful place. Here they are. Somewhere out there in the deep, a storm rises and the wind begins to blow. And the waves begin to toss. And it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And here's Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. This is not a story. This is not a Bible story. This is an account of events that happened. Are you with me? The disciples ran to where he was, and this is what came out of their mouth. Don't you care if we're all drowned and die? King James, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus gets up from where he's at. I don't know exactly. I've seen restored boats, and a lot of the timber's original. Amazing stuff right there. They're pretty good size. They called them ships, fishing boats. I can see him getting up out of the bottom of wherever the bottom was. In my mind, we don't know exactly where he was, but I see him in the front of that boat as he walks up calmly. And he does what? He opens his mouth and he speaks to the storm. And they marveled because the wind and the waves obeyed his will. Now his will is one thing, but he spun it around on them after everything had been settled and they were en route to the promise, the other side. We cut loose of the past. We hit a storm. He calms the storm and he turns lovingly, graciously, and he rebukes them for their small faith. Read that in reverse. That means that mere men could have stood in a boat, lifted their arm, and spoken to a storm. I said that means, read it in reverse, that means that mere men could have stood up in a boat, opened their mouth, and talked to a storm. Now, I'm not sure how good this would have worked if Jesus hadn't given them a promise. He said, let us go to the other side. But when you got a promise, stand up and talk. We have great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen. James tells us in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Not even a hint of Him turning His back on us ever. For He is the giver of life and the giver of good things. Peter tells us everything that pertains to life and godliness is given to us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Am I preaching yet, people? Yes. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to myself today. Hallelujah. Huh? What? No, what? Oh, man. Well, me included. That song, Gina. Let the peace of God reign. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians. I want to talk to you. Some of you are still contemplating leaving the shore. Some of you have heard this. It's encouraged you, but it's been hard to let go. Hey, would you shout out with me? He has my back, even so. Come on, remember Philippians 3? Paul said this. He said, I've not yet attained that which has got a hold of me. I may not have my gray matter wrapped around what he's done, but nevertheless, he's done a great work in me. It's called faith righteousness. That's beautiful. Maybe you've left the shore. Maybe over the last few weeks, man, it's like you've been just hammered. Let me tell you something. There is a promise for the time of storm. Any of you ever just woke up one day and for no reason, you've had a great week, woke up one day and just everything was backwards. You had a gloom over you mentally and emotionally. You didn't know where it came from. Now, if you go to the doctor, they'll try to analyze you, take you all apart, label everything, and drug you up. But listen, as a believer, you can recognize that there is a higher and a greater way if we trust Jesus' own words in reference to the storm. How many have been in a storm lately? Don't raise your hand. How many have been in a storm this morning, today? How many know you've been around a while, the storms will come? How many know the Word of God doesn't change when storms come? There's a message for the storm. Before I go any further, you know I love to fish. By the way, don't ask me about the coyote hunt. It was a wash. But it wasn't a wash in fellowship and experience and a plan for next year. And we're going to kick chicken next year, aren't we, Jim? All right. It was such a cool deal. We didn't get a coyote, but we got a fancy cup that said we were part of the teams that tried. So, anyway, back to today. I love to fish. I really do. The older I get, hunting's just a lot of work. Fishing is awesome. There's an old story. Listen close. There's an old story. Storms of life. We haven't lost it. Just listen. There's an old story about a fisherman who was very successful. Every morning he went on the lake in a small boat. And when he returned a couple of hours later, his boat was loaded down with fish. He never failed. People wondered how he did it. Even when others are not catching anything at all, he always came in with his boat. It's kind of like John here. He always came in with his boat with fish in it. One morning, a stranger showed up with his fishing tackle and said, "Mind if I go fishing with you this morning?" "No," said the fisherman. "Just hop in and we'll go over to the little cove where I always have good luck." The man hopped in the boat and off they headed across the lake until they came to a small cove. The old fisherman stopped the boat and cut off the motor. He reached over in this separate tackle box and took out a red stick of dynamite. He promptly lit the fuse, held it for a moment till the fuse burned down tight, threw it in the water. Boom! Whoosh! Fish laying everywhere. He drove around with his net, scooped up fish, and piled them in the boat. After watching this for a moment, the stranger reached into his pocket, pulled out a special wallet that, when flipped open, exposed a badge. Said, "I'm a game warden and you're under arrest." The old fisherman didn't even flinch. He just reached over into that same box, pulled out another stick of dynamite. He lit it, held it till the fuse burned all the way down, then tossed it to the game warden and said, "Now, are you going to just sit there or are you going to fish?" kind of evened the scales there. He had about 3 seconds to figure out who he was and what he was going to do. Or maybe it's in the reverse, what he was going to do about who he was. Many of us are at a decision point. Let it go. Let it go. Make a decision about who you are. I don't know about you, but I know so well my imperfections. There's times when I'm tempted to not like me, let alone love me. But the older I get, not that I'm old, I'm young. 39, counting. Shame on you. I am 150% convinced of His great love for Lee Shaw. His mercy that is without end. His grace that is bestowed upon me simply because I love Him back. There's no work in that. I love Him back and trust Him like a child. I really believe to my bones He is good. I love what Brother Womack says. The more I look in this mirror that tells me who I am, John, the more convinced I am that my picture is on God's fireplace mantle. For I'm His favorite kid, and so are you. The devil will do everything he can to stop you. But there's a word today for the storm. How many are glad that some storms, like mountains, can be averted? Sometimes because we don't know, we go through them. Sometimes we go through storms that we didn't need to go through. But above, middle, or under, He is there. I said He is there. I believe you can get a hold of that truth. Sin begins to lose its grip. Hope begins to rise in the heart of a young believer who's trying to figure out how this works. He is the same. Jesus of my past, my present, and my future. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm letting that soak in a minute. I'm very glad you came to church today. I almost hate saying that because church has so little bit to do with it. Breaking bread like we are right now and drinking the wine of the Holy Ghost in communion has everything to do with all of it. Do you know we're having communion right now? Do you know we're breaking bread right now and sipping of the cup? Come on, help me out. Did you know that right now we're having communion? Right now we are at the Lord's table together as brothers and sisters, breaking bread and sipping of the wine of the Spirit. Right now in this room all over, healing is not up here. If you've put your faith in Jesus, healing is already on the inside of you. Dare to trust Him and release the gifts of God on the inside of you right now. Would you lift your hands heavenward this morning and just worship Him a little bit? Go ahead. Jesus, how we worship You today. You don't have to lift your hands. Lift your hands on the inside. I don't care. We're not being legalistic around here. I love to lift my hands because I love to lift my hands. Today I receive strength. The fullness of His blessing. His protection. His gentle voice by the Holy Spirit that leads and guides me into all truth. This precious Jesus that can sleep in a boat that I'm terrorized by. For he has promised, let us go to the other side. Oh, man. The book of Colossians, have you found it yet? Little book. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And here's what it says. And let the peace of God, Tina, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. That is a 1-2-3 punch knockout for the devil if we can dare to trust that what he says is true. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called. I want you to notice that this peace of God thing doesn't work well when you try to work your faith and your believing independent of the body. How many know we are called into a body? This whole plan of God does not work well. Not one of us is made with the ability to go it alone. We need one another. When I say that, I'm not talking about your spouse, and I'm not talking about your family time. I've watched people elevate family time above everything else, unwittingly teaching their kids that family was more important than family. And the dividends of that come in years to come. Please don't take this the wrong way. I promise you before God, I have zero anybody in mind. This is just coming out, so I'm going to lay it out and do with it what you want to. Like Brother Osteen said, if I'm stepping on your toes, just pull your feet back under the chair. Kids do what we do, not what we say. I was going to say more, but I'm being cautioned. Stop. I need to stop right there because I don't want anybody leaving here going, ow. I want you leaving here lifted, strengthened in Jesus. The chastisement of the word is enough because when he does it, it's gentle, it's beautiful, it's correction with direction, never punishment. By the way, that's a little tidbit for young parents. Never punishment, correction with direction. I may know that discipline without relationship breeds rebellion. Okay? So anyway, I got way off track. We're good now. We're back. And here's what I wanted to say. If we're not careful, in the name of family, we'll lose track of the importance of what Jesus put importance on, and it's called the body. Now, I'm not talking about attending church services. I mean, my gosh, we only have two. Now, we got men's groups and women's groups and, you know, this group. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about we need relationship with spirit-filled believers, challenging and encouraging. If we're just off and alone, we're opened up to pray. That's the devil's favorite ploy, is to isolate us, justify why we isolate ourselves. We have a special, very special problem that nobody would understand. And so we're going to, I talked to one older gentleman, it blew my mind. He said, the Lord spoke to me and told me I needed to fast church so that my wife will get healed. Now that's convoluted. Heart was right, but his head was completely upside down. We are called to peace. I'm really glad for the peace of God. And the peace of God can rule our hearts. To the which we're called, by this peace, called to one body. And be ye thankful. Now I'm going to stop with that direction and pull us back to word, a word for in the storm. How many are glad for Jesus? Above, in, and under. It doesn't matter. He is there. Have you ever had one of those days where you just felt like screaming, stop! The storm. I can't take it anymore. From time to time, everyone has had that kind of day. So look around. There is no temptation. Paul said by the Spirit of God that is not common to every man. He also said that there is no temptation that has overtaken you, for the which God will definitely provide a way of escape. Aren't you glad for that? And when you do, your temptation to probably either get in the flesh or maybe react to somebody in an ugly way or get depressed and go to bed and forget about all of it. You ever done that before? Okay. But rather than throw in the towel and give way to these emotions that want to get the best of you, we can stop. Right there. I'm very glad for Jesus today. We can stop right there. Realize, Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Realize what's going on and make a decision to let the Word of God rule you today. God's supernatural peace. Bump your neighbor and say peace. Dominating and governing every emotion, situation that confronts you. There is no worse roller coaster. How many can affirm this? There is no worse roller coaster ride than the one you're being knocked all over the place by than emotions when they're out of control. So many people make decisions in business. They make decisions in relationships. They make decisions when the storm is full on. That's a dangerous time to move. Trust God. Stand up in your boat. He has a promise. Let us go to the other side. Open your mouth and begin to speak to that storm. There's three things here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Know that you belong to a family. And be thankful. Beautiful. Powerful. Nugget. Word of God for us today. Paul uses this word to tell us that the peace of God can work like an umpire. In this scripture that we're reading right here, the word rule is the Greek word, and I'm no Greek scholar. I enjoy it. I depend on people who are. But the Greek word brabo, B-R-A-B-E-U-O, is the word that Paul uses to talk about the peace of God ruling your hearts. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. That's where a lot of people are at this morning, I imagine. We're going to be frustrated, depending on which side of the stadium we're on, and we're going to be encouraged as an umpire rules against or in favor of our team. But how many know what the umpire says? Goes. Down at the 40. Whatever the case may be. Foul, whatever. He calls the shots. He's the umpire, the referee. Umpire in baseball, referee in football. Soccer, whatever. There's somebody who calls the shots and keeps order. I want you to think about this. We'll keep order in the game today as some of you are watching the Super Bowl. I kind of lost my appetite for it when they wouldn't stand up for the national anthem. I'm still kind of choking, so I don't know. We'll see. That's kind of where I'm at. I love the red, white, and blue. Not more than Jesus, but I love the red, white, and blue. Come on, what is that? Are you kidding me? I don't think I'm in Sweden today. I'm so glad for this great nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. He uses that word specifically. You look at it. In ancient times, this was used to describe an umpire referee who moderated and judged the athletic competitions that were so popular in that ancient world. We haven't changed much. All right. Paul uses this word to tell us that the peace of God, listen people, let this be an added, this isn't an end all, this isn't an end all, this is an added piece of the puzzle. Your hearts are yearning, just like that dream I had, we must know Him. With Paul, we're saying, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How many could use a little more of that power this morning, this week, where you're going, in your decisions, in your thought life, in your marriage, every direction? Listen, there's a promise in Isaiah 54 that says those that are established in righteousness, oppression, here's another word for it, depression, will be far from them. Simple, baby-like steps and belief set men and women free. I'm very glad for the freedom of God's word this morning. Listen, the peace of God is exactly that. It's an umpire or a referee for our hearts, our mind, and our emotions. Now listen, we're not talking about your spirit. Your spirit, man, was made new when you confessed Jesus as your Lord. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, old things. That has to be in here. Have passed away. All things have become new. I was telling the story yesterday of a guy by the name of Gilbert, a rough old trucker, spent all his time in the bars and strip joints, everywhere he could, up and down the Atlantic coast. Big old boy. A cut right down the front of his face that crossed through his nose that made him look tougher than he was. Big, stout fella. And I'll never forget the morning I'm ministering, and to my astonishment, along with probably 20 others, this big old truck driver, it's a long story how he wound up in our service, it was a miracle, because I didn't know who he was, made his way up front, and he stood over here to the left. I went over to where he was, and he was weeping. Could Jesus forgive? I said, He absolutely does. I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it goes like this, and I led him in the sinner's prayer. And that big old boy, those great big old arms, Gilbert. Hands in the air, tears falling, he received Jesus into his life. And he exclaimed out loud as I hurriedly tried to grab his hand and get him through the side hallway to a prayer room, because what began to come out of his mouth is, what the heck is going on? I feel so de-good. I feel so de-good to get all this SH off of me. I'm getting a hold of them going, this is awesome. But they don't, because there's people around them going, I got a hold of Gilbert. I hurried him down the hallway. I said, that's awesome, Gilbert. Let me explain to you what's going on. But I had to get him out of there because they didn't understand what was going on. I knew what was going on. What happened to Gilbert? Last time I talked to him, he was in the ministry. Preaching Jesus in the truck stops. I'm so happy for you that when you got saved, God just took the taste for whatever right out of your mouth. I'm so glad for, I'm not making fun of you, I think it's awesome. But be careful that you don't use that as a weapon. He did it for me, He ought to do it for you. If you were really saved, then just stop it. My father-in-law had an experience. Rough. Navy man. Terribly wicked. Unbelievably wicked. When he got saved, he couldn't cuss. That's wonderful. What I appreciated about Don is he never imposed that on somebody else. Gilbert was made new that day. God helped him with the other stuff. You bet your boots there was a process that took place. His spirit man was made new. And the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, helped him. This is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by mercy. I've spent all this time through chapter 8. Talked about a little bit about Israel, and then in 10 I hit it again. And then talked a little bit about Israel. Now I'm telling you, this is Romans. I'm telling you, by the mercy of God, the inside of you is already done. Now you can present your body, this part of you, as a living sacrifice. I can take me this week that wasn't. Can you identify with me? Have you had a week like that? I wasn't perfect. You weren't perfect, Pastor Lee? Oh, come on, please. And I can take this and humbly, by faith righteousness, Ian, present him a living sacrifice. By faith, believing that what's on the inside, Philippians 2, is worked out. Knowing that it is God who works in us. His will to do His pleasure. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Amen. Good news. So we're not talking about your spirit man, but how many know your heart is the seat of your belief system? There's things that you know, but then there's things that it doesn't matter what you said, when something hits the fan, you move based on a belief that is so deep that you don't even think about it. You're there. Take soldiers that have been in active combat. I don't know anything about what they suffered, and I don't pretend to. But I had a little taste of it because I spent 3.5 years in war-torn Guatemala. So when I heard a mortar go off, I was hitting the ground. When I heard machine gun fire around our house, we knew to get low and get in the middle. I knew that when there were sirens, it wasn't a highway patrol in the United States. I was afraid I was going to have to pay money. It could mean serious trouble. I was looking for somewhere to get. You following me? What was I talking about? I got thinking about Guatemala and forgot all about what I was talking about. Yeah. What was happening is it was, regardless of what was going on here, after you go through a few things, how about it, some of you soldiers? After you go through a few things, there's a knowledge that's so deep, you're not even consciously thinking about it anymore. You just react. Then there's a part where you're still processing things. And then on top of all this is emotion. Now the dangerous thing about emotion, it's a wonderful gift from God. But if it ever leaves its place as a caboose and becomes the engine, that's a train wreck ready to happen. Get the emotions in the back as a servant. They're wonderful if we don't let them run the show. How many are glad you have emotion? Everybody around somebody who's emotionless? That's not a pretty thing. Thank God for emotions, but they got to be in check by the Word of God. Okay? So when we're talking about the peace of God being an umpire that rules, that referees, are you here? What's going on? Your heart, your mind, and your emotions. How many can reach out this morning and receive a promise that says, I no longer am going to let every little thing that happens overwhelm me and think Jesus is not in the boat with me and I'm sure going to shipwreck and it's coming out of my mouth and I am giving in to every whim of the enemy. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be like the game warden with the stick and dynamite. I better make up my decision quick about who I am and where I'm going. You love Jesus today? Is this a good word for you? Is this encouraging? I hope it is. It's encouraging for me. We don't have to let these things rule us. Now I got to finish up. When this divine umpire called peace steps into the game, it suddenly begins to call the shots and make all the decisions instead of fretfulness, anxiety, and worry. It could be read, Colossians 3:15 could be read like this in the light of what we just said. Let the peace of God call the shots in your life. My dad said something years ago that set me free as a young Bible school graduate, confused about whether I wanted to be a cowboy or I was doomed to be a missionary. That may sound funny to you, but that's where I was at the time. Everybody's telling me, you have to go to the mission field. You're fluent in Spanish, you play guitar, you sing, you're a graduate of Bible school, your dad's on the mission field, you have to go to the mission field. My heart was wanting to do something else. Everybody was telling, including prophets and everybody, you got to do this. But my heart was saying, I don't want to do that. And I was in conflict. It took me a long time to wake up and realize that just because there's this, doesn't mean necessarily this is what I need to do. God had a plan they didn't understand. I didn't fully understand it. And I learned much later that He leads us from the inside out. Psalms 37:4-5. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Beautiful stuff. And He'll use who you are. Individually, with your unique abilities and a talent and desires, use that to touch somebody with the gospel that nobody else may have never reached. I've led many, 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 many people to the Lord. Far from a pulpit. And they were the best. They're all good. I don't mean it that way, but you know what I'm saying. For me. I'm called with a heavenly calling. I've left the shore. I've left the shore. I'm moving on towards the promise, the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. Even though it's true that everybody has hard days and difficult weeks, you don't have to surrender to those emotions that try to steal your joy, disturb your relationships, and rob your victory. When you feel overwhelmed by problems or emotions that are hitting you from every direction, just stop a moment. And here is the word. Everybody say deliberately. Come on, say it like you mean it out loud. Deliberately. Be deliberate in your faith. Deliberately set your heart and mind on Jesus and the Word of God. And let the peace of God referee your heart, your mind, and your emotions. I don't know what it is. I've watched it happen over and over and over again. I started to tell you a little bit ago about my dad, something that he said that set me free as a young Bible school graduate. He told me, he said, Lee, you're torn about what to do. He said, this is not a good time for you to make a decision. He said, I learned a long time ago, kick it in neutral, coast in God, and listen to what He's speaking to you. All of a sudden, the pressure was off. All of a sudden, I was enjoying God again. All of a sudden, things were different. And I was able to make a clear decision based on a knowledge that held the peace of God. Wow. I had more to share, but I'm done. We're glad this morning for the peace of God. Would you stand to your feet this morning all over the room? There's some of you in here. God knew you were coming today and you needed to hear this. I have no doubt I'm 150% guaranteed sure that there were people on the verge of just forget it. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man, let's lift up our room. Oh, lift up our room. Yeah, let's do that too. We can do that too. We can, come on now. Come on now. Holy Ghost mistake. We can lift it up. Oh, here, let's lift our hands together. Jesus, how we love you. Thank you for the peace of God. Next week, I'm going to be tying what we've said today with another Greek study. On 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us. I'm going to tie this and show you how you can take steps, deliberate steps into letting the peace of God referee our lives. Then we're going to tie that right back to faith. You're going to love it. But right now, this is what we need for today. All over the room, Jesus, I receive the peace of God. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you today. Father, thank you for ministering strength to hearts and minds and emotions today as the peace of God referees. We make a deliberate, come on, are you joining me, people? I, Mr. Lee Shaw, make a deliberate choice to let the Word of God, Jesus Himself, who gave me His peace, let Him rule in this situation. My fretting and my worrying hasn't added one inch to my height. It hasn't answered one single thing that I need answered. Today, my trust is in you, and I make a decision as part of your body, as part of your church. I cast my cares upon you. I let the peace of God this morning. Would you let that tumble off your lips all over the room? Say it with me. This morning, I allow the peace of God to referee my thoughts. And how does this work? That means tomorrow when you get up and the enemy says, you got too much truth yesterday, I'm going to knock you head over 10 cups. You need to stand up in your little boat and start doing some talking. Let me tell you something, devil. It may feel like this, but I know better than to let you say any more. And let me tell you something, Mr. Lee Shaw. You can let this thing cloud in over top of you and set the course for your week, or you can begin to stand and declare the goodness of God and remind yourself of where He brought you and remember that He is the God of your past. He is the Jesus of your past, your present, and your future, that He has declared, let us go to the other side. I know who I am and I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. What happens is when we begin to do that, the peace of God begins to come over. Powerful stuff. Remember years ago, we were in La Ceiba, Honduras. Very, very dark times. The Garifuna people completely chained by voodoo. Evangelism had tried to penetrate that area for years and years since it first went into Honduras, and there was one area it just could. It's like no matter what you did, there were little pieces here and there, but it just didn't seem to penetrate. I remember being there one night with a group of missionaries and them literally spraying blood all over the walls and the street. You could smell it. We were inside sleeping. And the feeling in the air was dangerous. And they were cursing and praying and doing all their stuff. And I mean major stuff. And we're talking about real. If I told you some stories, it'd raise the hair on the back of your neck. And I remember though, with this newfound consciousness of what God, who He is in me, we got together with a group of people and I said, this is nothing in the face of our God. We were inside. We had some people that were from the States, from a church in Texas. They were scared into the middle of next week. We got around and we began to sing a worship song, and I began to exhort about the greatness of God. And the next thing you know, all this stuff that was out here had left. They just evaporated. Do you know that within months, we had major breakthroughs in that nation, in that part of that nation that we had never seen before? Let this be an encouragement. Whatever you're going through, whatever your storm is, if you'll stand just like this and let the peace of God rule, recognize we need one another, and be thankful in the midst of times when it's like, what am I thinking? I don't know. Just that you're good and that you said we're going to the other side. I got a promise and everything in me. I'm thankful for who you are. I'll tell you what, there's something powerful about that kind of faith. Lord, today, we let the peace of God rule. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we sing that song? Huh? our God. Well, you guys are already ready for something else. Here's what I'm going to do. We've gone longer than I wanted to already. I'm going to remain up here along with those who are prayer team and just do like I did last week. We're going to dismiss you right now in prayer. Altars are open. We're going to continue to worship. If you need ministry, that's what we're here for. We'd love to be able to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you right now. We'll worship. And listen, this week, what are you going to do? Let the peace of God referee and umpire your marriage, your job, your life, all of these things. Let Him do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for Your blessing and Your grace upon Your people. Father, we thank You for breakthroughs because of the peace of God. Father, I thank You that as we trust Your Word, the promise that was given is on its way. For You are Lord of the past, our present, and our future. And everybody said, amen and amen. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Bring somebody with you next week. As we worship, altars are open. If you have a need for...